holding on Laman of Bay is that a Mishnah?
Laman of Bay.
We learned, we had yesterday, we talked, we had several Mishnayos that illustrated cases that we had in the first parak about Erva and Sarat Erva and so forth. The Mishnah says, V'chulin shahaya behen kedushin or gerushin besafik. Yesterday we talked, one of the cases we talked about is where Sarah was divorced. We said we had three different possibilities. She was divorced before the brother ever died, after he died, but before Yibum was done, after Yibum was done, etc. Now, suppose one of these Sarat was, there was Kedushin or Gerushin Besafik. It's uncertain whether there was a Kedushin or a Gerushin, which we'll talk about in the Gemara, which we'll talk about later in the Mishnah, actually. Hare Elat Tzaras Chaltas V'lay Misyabmas. So you're back to the case that the Tzaras needs Chalitza, not Yibum, because, again, you have the same kind of problem. Not Midaraisa. On one level, she might be a Tzaras Erva, because of the Suffolk, but on the other hand, she might not be. So therefore, she's a Shemeres Yavam and needs Chalitza. So, no, not necessarily Midaraisa or Midrabanan. We'll talk about in the Gemara, actually, what's Midaraisa, what's Midrabanan here. But the point is, she can't do Yibum because she might be a Tzaras Erva. She can't just go marry because she may be a Shemeres Yavam. So therefore, Chalitza, the usual.
What kind of
Suffolk? Suffolk Kedushin. What is an example of Suffolk Kedushin? Zarak La Kedushin. Suppose that the husband threw the object that he was doing Kedushin with to his wife. Suffolk Karev La is Suffolk Karev La. And it's a Suffolk whether it landed closer to her or closer to him. Which Rashi actually says that what we're talking about over here is, you could understand, it kind of sounds like you might have their standing any distance apart, and there comes a point you're not sure if it was closer, you know, how close, you know, whether it's closer, literally closer to him or closer to her. Doesn't matter the distance. The Gemara discusses it in Kedushin, but actually, specifically, Rashi says the case we're talking about over here is more along the lines of they are standing exactly 8 amos apart. Now, the din is if the Kedushin lands within her 4 amos, then she's Mekudeshet. If it lands within his 4 amos, then not. So if they're standing exactly 8 amos apart, then you have a question, which side did it land on? So a Suffolk Kedushin. That's an example of Suffolk Kedushin. Suffolk Gerushin is the following example. Kasa v'ksav yadei ve'en alavedim. Number one, the husband himself wrote out the get in his own hand, but there's no edim signed on it. Which, therefore, what's the point? A get is supposed to have edim, and when we get to Masechta Gittin, about a year from now, we're going to learn the details of why it's supposed to have edim. But Rashi points out over here, you find, for example, that if a person, we find, for example, a halacha in Dinim Mominus, that if a person has a shtar that they wrote out in their own hand, and so Reuben wrote out a shtar in his own hand that I owe Shimon $100, and Shimon has that shtar in his hand, even though there's no witnesses on it, Shimon is allowed to collect on that basis, because Reuben himself wrote it out. By the same logic over here, then, we're saying that if the get is written in the husband's own hand, then even though there's no edim on it, at least midaraisa would be a kosher again. Tosfos discusses the issue that it's more the reason why you're supposed to have edim on it is in order to testify to the date, which we're going to get to in a second, that a get has to have a date on it, and we'll talk about in the Gemara the reason why. Anyway, second case, Yeshol Edim Ve'en Brezman. If the get has witnesses signed on it, but there's no date written on it, which we're going to learn in the Gemara, that a get has to have a date written on it. Or number three, Yesh Brezman Ve'en Ve'el Eid Echad. Or number three, it has a date, but only one aid is signed on it. So all those cases are those are not really a suffix. When we're using the word suffix Gerushin over here, we're using it in a slightly different sense than we are with the Kedushin. They're not really a suffix. What it is these three kinds of gittin, the Gemara explains that towards the end of Masechta Gittin, there's a Mishnah there that says that these three kinds are kosher midaraisa, but they're pasul midrabanan. B'dieved, though, if she remarried on the basis of one of them, will allow her, I don't know if we'll allow her to stay married, but whatever, at least her children won't be considered mamzerim from the second marriage.
If it falls in the middle.
No. Forget the falling in the middle. That was Kedushin. That was Kedushin. Now, there is a case with Gittin where you can have also, he throws her the get, whether it lands closer to him and closer to her. We'll talk about in the Gemara why the Mishnah didn't just use that as an example of Suffolk Gerushin. But the example the Mishnah are giving is, no, he actually handed her the get, but it had one of these three problems with it. No edim, only one aid, or no date. So then we're saying that, it's not Suffolk in the sense, I mean, the Rabbanan said it's a possible get. But it's a suffix in the sense that, after all, midaraisa is a kosher to get, and b'dieved, if she remarried, then her children from that second marriage are not mamzerim. So therefore, there was suffix gerushin. This is what we mean by suffix gerushin. That therefore, in other words, if the erva had underwent one, had a get that had one of these, that had one of these problems with it, then we're saying her tzara now has to do chalitza, not yibum, because we're not sure if the erva is still married to her husband or not. We're not really not sure, but basically she, you know, on one level she is, and on one level she isn't, kind of. Something I want to ask. So basically, what's going to be driving the whole discussion in the Gemara here until the next Mishnah is all going to be driven by this fact that the Mishnah is giving two different illustrations of what suffix is. By Kedushin, it's giving the example where you're not sure if it landed in his foamus or hers, and by Gittin, by Gerushin, it's going into these whole business, about how the get itself was written. Why the difference? We see that by the get, the Mishnah does not mention the example of you could have just as well the same thing. You could say he threw her the get if it landed in his fuamus versus her fuamus. You have the same issue. My time, why is that? Amar Rabba, it's like this. Ishizu b'cheskas hecha l'shukai medes. Let's think about it. This woman, the tzaras erva, If her husband dies, or while her husband is still alive, we would assume that she's allowed to marry out. Her husband could divorce her at any time, and she'd be able to marry whoever he wants. The fact that she's a tzaras erva, means that as of right now, if her husband were to die at this point before he divorces the erva, there's no question she'd be possible. It's a plain case of tzaras erva.
If her husband dies before her
tzara, who is the erva, gets divorced, then obviously she'd be potter, because that's a simple case of tzaras erva. Here, Sarah is a relative, or let's say, for example, a daughter of Reuven or one of the other 14 cases of the original Mishnah. Ritzko was saying is a suffix. There's no question. If there hadn't been a suffix, or actually it's the other way around. Sarah over here is the Sarah. Ritzko is the relative, but whatever. Okay. There's no question. Sarah at that point would have been able to marry out. Would have been able to go out l'shuk. Or misuffik atabala oistra. What are you coming to say? You want to answer her because of a suffix. You want to say because of the suffix kedushin or suffix gerushin. Well, the difference is al pastrena misuffik. Don't say on the basis of a suffix, just because, in other words, what Rabbah is saying is like this. If we had a case where the gerushin of Rivka was the same kind of suffix as we had by Kedushin, we're not sure whether it landed here or whether it landed there, we would not say on that basis that Sarah has to do chalitza. Sarah. The Tzara. Because we would say that she had before that a chazaka that she was able to go marry out to whoever she wanted. So that kind of suffix would not all of a sudden make her officer. As opposed to the cases that the Mishnah called suffix gerushin, which are not really a suffix at all, but rather something where the get is kosel midrabanan, that's different. On that basis, that's enough of a basis to change Sarah's status, to change Sarah's chazaka, and say, therefore, that she becomes Osir L'shuk until she does Chalitza.
That's in a case of
the get itself having problems, but not in the case of that there's a suffix where the get landed.
That was the date or the date
or the number of Edim or whatever, yeah.
But not the landing.
Which actually, Mefarshim talk about. I mean, so don't you have the other way around? I mean, to begin with, this woman actually is Osir to everybody anyway, because she's still married to Reuven. And the answer is that there's a concept in halacha called whether we do or don't machzikin me isur le isur, meaning when we start out Sara is osur to everybody else in the world because she's a married woman. Now you want to say on that basis that because of the suffix in Rivka's gerushin, you want to ask Sara to marry anybody else before chalitza. You can't do that. Those are two different kinds of isurim. Just because she was also before on one basis you can't necessarily derive from that she's also on a different basis.
In other words, the Easter of Sarah doesn't apply the Easter of resulting from the get.
Well, no, the issue of Eishes Ish, the issue of Eishes Ish, which now has disappeared when her husband died, that issue we can't say because before she was Osir on that basis, therefore now we're going to say she's Osir, she has a chazaka of being Osir, even though the basis for the issue has changed. Now it's going to be because of, now it's going to be because she's a Shemeres Yavam, because she's Skuka. No, we're not going to say that. A different other Mepharshim talk about maybe we would say Machzik and Issur, Me Issur the Issur, and so they have different explanations of how exactly this would work. Anyway, next. The question is, Amalei Abaya, Ihachi, B'Kedushin Nami. Well, then by the same logic, say the same thing by Kedushin. Name it, Ishizu B'Chesed Heter L'Yavam Medes. If you're talking about whether there's a suffix in the Kedushin of the Erva, you have the same issue. You could say that to begin with, this woman, the Tzara, had a chazaka being mutter to the yavam, because if the brother who afterwards died had never done kiddushin with Rivka, the relative, then obviously Sarah would be mutter. It would be a plain case of yavam. Or misafik atabala. So you want to say that she's also misafik? I'll pass you on a misafik. You should also say you shouldn't ask her a misafik. So why by kiddushin are we saying that a real suffix, whether it landed here or there, is stronger than by gerushin? The answer is hasam l'chumra. The difference is
the same topic should
apply to the same topic, yeah. As Kedushin, yeah. The answer is Hasam Lachumra. The difference is that the difference is that in the case of Gittin, in the case of Gedushin, the suffix that was it, we're saying if in that case, you would. In that case, you'd be going lachumra. Because what would you be saying? You'd be saying that you're not allowing her to you're not allowing her to do yivum. Whereas in the case, or the other way around, actually, no, there wasn't the case of Gerushin. In the case of Gerushin, you're saying even though you might have argued that she should be able to do yivum, but you're saying mitzada safik you're not. In the case of kedushin, oh, 1 second. I've got this a little bit mixed up, rather. Let me see. The Hasam L'Chumra, you know what, I'm going to change. Okay, I usually do things and borrow this because. Hasam L'Chumra means like this. It means that you're right. In the case of Kedushin, really, that suffix would allow her to do Yibum even. Because you would say it's a suffix whether Rivka was ever niskadish to Reuven. And therefore fine, you're gonna say that you're gonna say though, because of the suffix, you're gonna go Lachumra instead. Whereas in the case of Gerushin, on the contrary, the same kind of suffix brings us to a kula. That you would say, based on the suffix, she should be able to do Yibum. The question is, sure, it's a chumra when it comes to gerushin, but isn't that a chumra that can lead to a kula? Suppose you have that this yavam goes and does kedushin with her, not the yavam, the one who originally did the kedushin with the suffix. Then he goes and does kedushe vadai with her sister. The inami, or another possibility, zimnin da also achra makadosh la ledita. Or you could have another case. This woman herself, who is Sophic Mekudeshes, somebody else could go and be Mekadesh or Vadeh. The Kivin de Osa La Mar Latsara La Yavumi. Since you're saying now that her Tsara is not allowed to do Yivum, implying that she was, implying therefore that why is she also to do Yivum? Because she's a Tsara of an Erva. Well, that implies that Erva was fully married to the first brother. Amri, people are going to think to Kama Kedushin or to Bastolab Kedushin. People are going to think the original Kedushin from the brother who later died is a valid Kedushin. The second one is not. And therefore, people are going to think that you could end up with cases. You'll end up with a case where you have Yavam al Ashuk. You could even end up with a case of Karis. Rashi brings an example over here that you could have, for example, a brother from the mother's side winds up doing kiddushin with her, thinking that she's allowed, and really it turns out she's an erva. So yeah, the answer is given to kamatzu chas chalitza, true, but in that case, since after all you are requiring chalitza for the tzara, mei de yadi de chumra ba'almahu, people are going to realize that it's a matter of chumra. Because you're not just looking at the kedushin itself. You're saying that Sarah is not allowed to do that. Sarah is not just allowed to go and freely marry out, which would be the case if she was a real Sarah Sarah. Okay, you're saying she needs chalitza. Well, if she needs chalitza, then that implies that she is to some extent a Sarah Sarah, which means that the kedushin, but on the other hand, not completely. Because of the suffix, yeah. People are going to realize that there's a chumrah over here, and there's not going to be people are not going to end up thinking in that case that, for example, that afterwards he's mekadosh the sister, that the second kedushin are not chal. People are going to realize the first kedushin was a suffix. Then the question is, ihalchi gerushin nami lisni. In that case, then by the same thing, we could mention the same kind of suffix by gerushin, where it's the same suffix, not a get that's possible midaraisa, but rather a suffix get, just like by kedushin. Velitzrucha chalitza, do the same thing. Say that since you're saying that the tzara needs chalitza, or maybe yadid chomer ba'almahu. Again, people will realize that you're requiring chalitza but not yibum in order to cover both sides of the suffix. So you're back to the question, why do we need to assume that there's a different, why do we need to assume that a suffix works by kedushin, but you need something which is vada, possible midrabanan, even though the Mishnah is calling it a suffix, in the case of gerushin. So we're still back to, what's the difference?
Because both cases, people would be confused.
Yeah. And on the contrary, if we say that in both cases, if we say that in one case people won't be confused because people will realize that the chalitza is being done, with suffix, then the other case also. The answer is imata ayma chalitza mitzvah. True, but if you're going to say in the case of gerushin that she should do chalitza, that she should do chalitza in the case of a suffix mitzvah bemes, then people are going to think that she can actually do yibum as well. And the problem is that. In the case of gerushin, we're saying that in the case of gerushin, we're saying that based on a suffix, you want to say that she has the chazaka of being a tzara serva. Well, then if you follow that chazaka, if she were to do yibum, then it would be an iser karis because it's eshes ach. It's a brother's wife, which is an erva. Okay, the question is, Hachanami, Imata, I'm a chalitza, mitzvah bemes. Fine, say the same thing by kedushin. Why are you telling her to do chalitza? Again, he might mistakenly do yibum instead. And after all, the kedushin that he did with the erva might have been a good kedushin after all, and you're back to the same problem, that this is a taras erva. The same problem seems to be in both cases.
Why is one more?
Yeah.
Kumra and the other one is...
Yeah. The answer, so the Gemara asks back, so what? Betisyabim, ve'en b'kach klum. So what? So in that case of kedushin, fine. Let's say she does do yibum. It's not such a big deal, because achazaka kokaima. Because we are going to still follow. If there was a suffix kedushin with the erva, and he does, and he ends up doing yibum with the tzara, we are still going to assume that she has the chazaka of being mutter. Because we're saying that she had the chazaka originally of being mutter. You want to say she's also misafik, don't do that. So fine, she had a chazaka of being mutter because we're not sure if she ever became also a tzaras erva.
No,
so that's just it. Because if we follow that chazaka,
yeah.
If we follow that chazaka, then it's true we have a suffik, but if we follow the chazaka that originally she was mutter before Rivka, the relative, ever came into the picture, and we still retain that chazaka, so it's true she shouldn't do yibum l'chila, but if she does, after all, it's not so bad.
How could she have a chazaka from a suffix?
It's not a chazaka from a suffix. To begin with, Sarah originally was married to Shimon.
Right.
Therefore, she had a chazaka being mutter to Reuben.
Right.
All of a sudden comes Rivka in now, who is the relative. We're not sure if he's mekodesh to her.
Right.
If he was mekodesh to her, then Sarah becomes Sarah Serva. If he doesn't, then not. So she had a chazaka to begin with, being mutter. Whereas if we know that he married Rivka, which then definitely that makes Sarah Tzaras Erva, then it's the other way around. Then the question is, have we taken away that chazaka of her being Tzaras Erva or not?
If there was a suffix, then you know that that Sarah was not really a Tzara, basically. That's what we're saying.
No. There's two different kinds of suffix. That's what we have to clarify over here. There can be... There, The question is, one kind of Sofik is, was Shimon ever married to Rivka? Therefore, did Sarah ever become a Sarah Sarva? Or, number two, was Shimon ever properly divorced from Rivka, thus making Sarah no longer a Sarah Sarva? There are two different kinds of Sofik. In one case, she had a Chazaka to begin with being Mutter. In the other case, she had a Chazaka to begin with being Osir. That's what we're saying over here is that the reason why it's more logical to say in the case of a Sofik Kiddushin that Sarah should go and do Chalitza is because there's no harm in it. If we can say that she should do Chalitza, if let's say people start thinking on that basis, you know what, forget Chalitza, I want to do Yibum, fine, she had a Chazaka being Mutter to begin with. That's not a big deal. As opposed to in the case of a Sofik get with Rivka, since Sarah before that get had a chazaka being Oster because she's Sarah's erba, at that point the chazaka is that she's Oster, and therefore don't even say that she should do chalitza in that case, because if she does chalitza, you might forget and do yibum with her, and then you're actually doing an erba.
What do you think of mutar as opposed to Sofik of an issue?
Yep. Yeah. So therefore, the only way the Mishnah can find a way to mention Sofik Kedushin is where it's not really a Sofik, but rather a case where the get is possible Madrabanan. Where then it's not a question of Chazakas. We know for a fact that a get was given, which is Kosher Midarais of the possible Madrabanan, and therefore we know that Sarah is a Tsaras Erva Midrabanan, but not Midarais, and therefore we can say she should need Chalitza.
That's the only
case. Yeah. Isve Abaya. So Abaya asks on him based on a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Nafal Abayas Olaval Bas Ochiv, the Mishnah says, suppose that a house collapsed on a person together with his niece.
House collapses
on a person and his niece. He was married to this niece. And the problem and with the house collapsing, we don't know which one died first. But in Yudure, the man Mesirishin, we don't know which one died first. Now, so there's two possibilities. One possibility, therefore, is that so we could look at it like this. If Shimon died first, then the niece obviously is Potter from Chalitza and Yibum because she's the daughter, she's an Erba, and therefore she's Saras Erba. As opposed to if Rivka died first, that would be the case that we mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where once the Erba is out of the picture, then she's no longer considered Saras Erba. And therefore she would have to do Yibum. You're not sure?
First case, the niece.
In the first case, the Tzara would be Potter. In the second case, the Tzara would be Chayev. And so what happens? The Mishnah says, Tzara asa chalitzas v'lemis yabemis. The Tzara has to do chalitza, not yibum. Now, the question is, amai hochanami neimer ishizu b'cheskes heter l'shukai medes, by the same logic that you're using before, about chazakas. The Tzara, to begin with, had a chazaka of being mutu l'shuk, because as long as everybody was alive, if at that point Shimon died, she would be Mutter, because she'd be Tzara Sarah. Or Misafik Atabala Oistra, and you're saying that Misafik, you might make her Osir. I'll pass you on a Misafik, then you should say, don't make her Osir Misafik. So why, in that case, are we saying that she needs Chalitza?
Yeah.
No, in that case of the house that collapsed. V'chi teima hachinami l'chumra. And you might answer, okay, again, the reason why we're saying she should need Chalitza is just l'chumra. Really, maybe she shouldn't need it, but because we would apply the chazaka, but because of the chumra, we're going to apply it. Again, you have the same problem as we said by kiddushin. Chumra dasu de kulahu. It's a chumra that eventually could lead to a kula. Sheimata oim chelatzis misyabemis. Because you have the same problem, like we just like we said before, that you have a chumra dasu de kula, that people are going to think that he's not mekudish to this woman, and that he can go and be mekadish her sister, for example. And people are going to think that the second kedushin was no good because they're going to think he was married to her. Same thing over here. You say you have a chumra that she should do chalitza. The chumra could end up bringing to a kula that people will think she can do yibum instead, and she can't do yibum because she can't do yibum because she may be tzara serva. The answer is. The difference is, when it comes to gerushin, it's a very common thing that people divorce their wives. Therefore, the Rabbanan would have to make a gzera. She should not do chalitza in the case of a Sofik, because people might do Yibum instead. As opposed to a collapsing house, is not a very common situation. So therefore, the Rabbanan didn't make a gzeir on it. We'll go ahead, let her do chalitza. There's a possibility that people might mistake chalitza for yibum. We're not so worried about that in a rare case like that. Yeah. Inami, or another possibility, geirushin dekaima erva dechamuchach. The difference is when it comes to a suffolk get, the kaima erva, you have the erva is still there, she's still alive, become muchach, and that demonstrates that that's one demonstration. The tzarasa kamatzu chasla chalitza, and yet you're saying that her tzara needs chalitza. In other words, people see even though she's on the face of it a tzaras erva, nevertheless she's needing chalitza. Amri, so people will say if they see that the difference is like this. In the case of Gerushin, why are we said one reason why we don't want the tzara to do chalitza is because instead of chalitza she might do yibum. Now we're saying a different point. What happens if we make her do chalitza? Why people are going to think to themselves, wait a minute, she's a tzara forever. Why on earth does she need chalitza? Obviously, it must have been a kosher to get, and it wasn't. We don't know if it was a kosher to get. That's the kaima erva de kamukach. You have the erva over there, so people can see that the gerushin has been done. The tzarasa kamatzu chalitza, and yet you see that her tzara is requiring chalitza. Amri, people are going to think kamu rei rabbanan begdita to get to mal yahu. People are going to think, oh, you know what? The rabbanan decided it was a case of suffolk originally, but afterwards the rabbanan figured out the suffolk, realized that it's closer to her or whatever, and therefore she's megudeshes. But also the yabum of the tzara. And therefore people might end up being miyabim the tzara. So it's not just a matter of you might confuse chalitza and yibum. Before we were just saying that if you're doing chalitza, you might automatically think, okay, if I can do chalitza, I can do yibum. The Gemara is saying a more fine grained reason why you might think you could do yibum instead of chalitza. Because the very fact you're requiring chalitza seems to imply that the get was a kosher to get, and therefore you're going to end up doing yibum. Whereas when it comes to a collapsed house, even if you say she needs chalitza, what are people going to think? That Rabbanan figured out which one died first? They don't have any way of knowing. So therefore, there's no reason that people are going to realize that okay, she needs chalitza because of a suffix. People are not going to think that you know what the chalitza implies in the other case we're saying the chalitza implies that the divorce took effect. Here, we're not going to say that. Yeah.
So what do we conclude from that?
Well, so we haven't concluded yet, but so far what we have is there's a reason to distinguish between our Mishnah and the case of the collapsed house. In our Mishnah, we're saying a suffolk gerushin would not be enough to say that the tzara should do chalitza. On the contrary, we would say she should not do chalitza because people are going to confuse it with yibum, or because people are going to think that the divorce was valid and she could do yibum. Whereas in the case of the collapsed house, yes, a suffolk is enough to, based on a suffolk, we can make her do chalitza, and we're not worried that that's going to possibly lead to yibum. And going back to kedushin from our Mishnah, also a suffolk kedushin. Then what we're saying is a suffolk in the case of suffolk kedushin to the tzara, not to the tzara, to the erva, we should have the tzara do chalitza, and there's not such a problem if that leads people to think, you know what, we can do yibum instead. Fine, to begin with, she had a chazaka being mutter.
Because
we're not even sure whether the kedushin or the erva ever took effect. Yeah.
So these cases different, one from another.
Yeah.
We cannot draw a conclusion.
No. So that would be why. The conclusion we're drawing so far is that is why our Mishnah could not use a case of suffolk gedushin. It could not be a case of an actual suffolk, whether it landed closer to him or closer to her. It had to be a case where the get is actually possible midrabanan. As opposed to the other cases, in the case of kedushin, in the case of collapsed house, you can have a real suffix, and based on that suffix, you can make a new chalitza. Okay, then the question is, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You're telling me all this time that the Mishnah could not use a case of suffix in gedushin relative to yibum, but the gabba gedushin milah's not. What, you're telling me you don't find any place a Mishnah about gedushin that talks about a suffix that affects yibum? We learn in a Mishnah in Gittin, if the woman was standing in Rosh Hashanah, v'zokelah, and he threw the get to her, karev la megurashes. No, it could. I think it could even be in Rosh Hashanah Avim itself. The point is, the important point of it being that she's standing in Rosh Hashanah Avim is because if she was standing in her own chatzah, it wouldn't matter whether it landed within her dalad amos, so chatzah is kind of for her. And conversely, if she's standing in his chatzah, then it would have to actually, she'd have to actually have it.
I don't know. It would be considered.
So it would have to be in Rosh Hashanah Avim. If she was in his chatzah, then the guest in chal until she actually has it in her hand. So she's standing under Shasarab, and he threw it to her. Karev la Megurashis, if it's closer to her, then she's Megurashis. Karev loy ain't Megurashis, if it's closer to him, she's not Megurashis. Mechsal mechsa Megurashis fe ain't Megurashis, if it lands exactly in the middle, then she is divorced but not divorced, meaning it's a suffix. Vamirin lamai hilchsa, and we explain there in the Gemara, what do we mean when we say she's divorced but not divorced, in what sense yes and in what sense not. De'i kayin hu asurale, on the one hand, if he's a kayin, the husband, then he's not allowed to remarry her because the gedushin might have taken effect. The erva he tsarasa baya chalitza. If she is an erva, then and the husband dies at that point, then her tsara is going to require a chalitza. And she imatayim a chalitzas mizyabemis. And you don't say over there that if you're going to make the tsara do chalitza, people might think that she could do yibum instead, which was the whole point that we were talking about until now. So we see that, yes, you could have, even in the case of suffix. Now, it's true, okay, the Mishnah doesn't spell it out over there, but still, that's the implication that we're saying of the Mishnah, is that the suffix gerushin causes chalitza but not yibum.
What people wouldn't do the yibum because it's a case of
No, the point is, we obviously are not making any such gzera. So why in our Mishnah are we assuming that we have to make such gzera such that our Mishnah can't use a regular case of suffix? The answer is, ha'itmar Allah. Yes, but in that case, we actually have a different explanation in the Gemara over there. There was an explanation of what it means over there. When we say that the get landed closer to him or closer to her, we have to think about it. There's different possibilities. When we talk about these different stakes, we can have a case, for example, where you have one group of Edim says one thing and another group of Edim says something else. Or you can have a case where one aid says one thing and the other aid says another thing. That makes a big difference. Hacha b'shnei kitei edim askinan. The case there in Gittin about the get that was thrown, when we say mechsal mechsa, doesn't mean it landed exactly in the middle and you went and measured that you find that it's exactly 60 feet 6 inches from each one. Rather, it means hacha b'shnei kitei edim askinan, and it means you have two different sets of edim. Achas emeres karev lo, achas emeres karev loy. One says the get is closer to her, one says it's closer to him. To have a sfeika de'araisa, that's a whole different thing than if we're talking about if the get landed in no man's land and there's no edim necessarily, and you're not sure about the measurements. That's not necessarily a suffik de'araisa. That's what we could call that a suffik de'rabanan. But if you have edim on both sides, that's a suffik de'araisa. Whereas our Mishnah is talking about there's only one set of witnesses. One witness says that the Kedushin landed closer to him. One says that it landed closer to her.
What kind of suffix is that?
That's a different kind of suffix. The point is, we're saying over here it's a suffix derabanan, but the difference is, in other words, that the difference is once you have what did we say before? We said before that the tzara should have a chazaka of the tzara in the case of gerushin, in the case where we're not sure if the erva had been divorced or not. We're saying the tzara has a chazaka of being mutar l'shuk, because if there hadn't been any suffik gerushin, she would have been potter. She would have been potter when her husband dies because she's tzara's erva. But when we have two edim saying that the get landed closer to the wife, that weakens that chazaka that the tzara has. Now already, you can't say necessarily that she has a chazaka of being mutter anymore. As opposed to in our Mishnah, one aid that says that the kedushin landed closer to her is not enough to break that chazaka. And therefore, in the case of kedushin, we can say that's the case we're talking about. If you have one aid saying on this side and one aid saying on that side.
Considered married.
No, so what we'd be saying is that the chazaka there is that the tzara has a chazaka of being able to do yibum. One aid is not going to break up that chazaka. So fine, one aid says so. That's what we're saying. In other words, we're saying a different. We're saying like this then. if we're not sure, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if there was a Suffolk Kiddushin, then the Tzara should do Chalitza, not Yivum. Why? Because we say, after all, there's a Suffolk. But what kind of Suffolk? The Suffolk we're talking about in our Mishnah is there was one aid saying that landed closer to her and one closer to him. That kind of Suffolk still, that kind of Suffolk on the Erva, on the Erva's Kiddushin, still leaves the Chazaka of the Tzara in place. So we don't want to really rely on that chazaka and say that she should do yibum. But that chazaka is strong enough that we should say she does have a zika, she does have to do chalitza, and v'diyevet, if she did yibum, okay, we'll live. As opposed to, in the case, as opposed to in the case of gerushin, the chazaka that she has is fakert. It's a chazaka that she does not have to do yibum at all. That she's completely potter because she's saras erva. You want to say you one aid again is not enough to break that chazaka.
Fine.
Same reason as it wasn't enough to break the chazaka in the previous case. One aid is not really acceptable.
Okay.
So that aid doesn't break that chazaka. So fine, technically she doesn't need anything at all then if we follow the chazaka. If we're going to say nevertheless, even though she has a chazaka being mutter, you want to be machmir and tell her to do chalitza, that could lead to her doing yibum. Which if we follow the chazaka, she's also to do yibum. The key difference we're dealing with over here is, does the chazaka itself allow her to do yibum? But we're saying, let's not rely on the chazaka, let's be machmir. Or are we saying, the chazaka allows her to not need anything at all, and then if you're being machmir and requiring her to do chalitza, she could end up doing yibum, which would actually be osir in that case.
She could be doing yibum because...
Because people will think that chalitza and yibum are similar. It's a little hard. It's a little hard to follow the. But yeah. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about this one group. This is only a suffix in Rabbanan. And in other words, one aid on each side is not enough to break that chazaka. Yeah. Okay. The question is, okay, how do you know that our Mishnah is talking about one group of aidim? The answer is drumi de kedushin, because we would say it's just like kedushin. Ma kiddushin b'kata achas, af kiddushin b'kata achas. Okay, the answer is, if our Mishnah were to mention a case of Suffolk kiddushin, it would have to be parallel to the Suffolk kiddushin. Since the Suffolk kiddushin involves one set of witnesses, one on one side, one on the other side, necessarily the case of kiddushin would also.
Right.
But the question is, the kiddushin gufayu, d'mimayu b'kata achas. Why? Who says in the case of kiddushin itself? Who says that our Mishnah is talking about one aid on each side? Dum b'beis kita aidim. Gufayu means kiddushin themselves. You're telling me our Mishnah, if it were mentioning a case of real Suffolk Gedushin, it would involve one aid on each side who contradict each other. Why? Because that's how it is by the Kedushin. Well, how do you know the Kedushin itself? All the Mishnah says is Suffolk Kard of Law, Suffolk Kard of Law. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about aidim. Could be there's one aid on each side, could be there's two aidim on each side. How do you know? Maybe the case of Kiddushin is also. You have two Adim saying that it was closer to him, two Adim saying it's closer to her. The answer is back to what we said before. Because if there's two sets of Adim, then fine. Again, you could well say that there won't be a problem with her doing Yibum. Because again, you had her Chazaka from before. Yes, you have one set of Adim on one side that's breaking the Chazaka, but on the other hand, you have a set of Adim on the other side that are upholding it. So the only logical way to say that, in other words, when the Mishnah says choltes v'loy misyabnos, that in the case of Suffolk Kiddushin of the Erva, we're saying that the Tzara should do chalitza but should not do yibum. If there were actually two edim on both sides, we would say chalitzes. But we wouldn't say v'loy misyabemes, which would imply that she should not do yibum. The ideal thing would be to do chalitza in that case. But if she did yibum, it wouldn't be so bad because she had a chazaka, and she had a chazaka, and there's edim upholding that chazaka.
At least on one side.
On one side, yeah. We ask, what do you mean? Taimi edim v'amri korav lo v'asamet tisyabem v'en v'chakulum. What are you talking about? You have another set of Edim who are saying that the Kedushin landed closer to her. You're telling me that the Tzara should do Yibum and there's no problem? Why? The two Edim who say that she is Tzara Serva. Yeah. Yeah. The two, and not only that, B'shnekit Edim Nami Sveka Dirabonan. Even if you have two sets of Edim, what do you mean it's a Sophic Dirabonan? It really is a Sophic Dirabonan. Da'amrin Uki Trei L'Vahadi Trei, because you have two against two, so you throw the whole thing out. V'isha Ukma Chazaka, and we leave her with her original Chazaka.
two against two, you throw everything out?
That's what we're going to say now in a second. The Gemara is going to bring an example of it from Dine Mominis.
How can you apply that to Erva?
Okay, so some of the Farshim point out that Dine Mominis and Erva, yeah, but still, when we're talking about things of Chazaka, when we're talking about things of Chazaka versus Eidos, you can apply from one to the other.
Even Chazaka concerning two Eidim, two sets of Eidim, the one...
Yeah, because what we're saying is the Torah trusts two Eidim, but you have two Eidim also against them. So
they trusted equalists?
Yeah.
Much more dangerous on one side of the Eidim than on the other side of the Eidim.
No, but the point is that we're going to say when we throw out the Eidim and we leave the original Chazaka, that's all it is. We're using the rationale of Chazaka. We're saying Chazaka itself works by Yisurim as well. There's no difference really whether even if you have two Eidim, you're still back to the original Chazaka that's not backed up by anything.
Even by
as opposed to we were just thinking that maybe the fact that she has two Eidim on the side that her Tzara was not Mekodesh should allow even Lachilah to do Yibum. We're saying no, but if, first of all you have the other Eidim, and second of all, even if you just throw out the whole thing, all you have is Chazaka. A Chazaka by itself is not going to be enough to allow her to do Yibum Lachilah, only B'dieved. Tosfos, by the way, has a completely different explanation of this whole thing, because Tosfos says, what are you talking about over here? For one second, the Gemara thinks that you could trust the one set of Eidim. Doesn't the Gemara realize that you have another set of Eidim standing right there? What was he in the Habam in it? So Tosfos has a completely different explanation. Tosfos basically has a completely different explanation of the sugya of these couple of lines. What would you be saying, on the contrary, maybe you'd argue if there's only one aid on each side, maybe then you're saying you'd lechila be allowing her to do yibum. Whereas if there's two Eidim on each side, then we're going to be machmir. But then we're saying that then we're going to say no. But you're telling me that if there's only one set of Eidim on the Hatchila, she could do yibum. That there's no problem with it. But after all, you have Eidim standing over there. You have one aid on each side, basically. Anyway, me did have an anichsid bar shatya. This would be similar to the case of the property of bar shatya. Bar shatya literally means the fool. This is a person who suffered from epilepsy or some such thing. Sometimes he was healthy. Sometimes he was out of his mind. The bar shatya zabin nichsi. Now one time he sold property. Also, one group of Eidim, two Eidim came and said that he did it when he was healthy, and therefore it's a valid sale. The other two came and said that he did it when he was out of his mind. And Ravashi says, in that case, he put two against two, meaning
you sell when you're having an.
That's the point. If he did, then it wouldn't be a valid sale.
I understand that, but when you have an epilepsy.
Not epilepsy. So it wasn't epilepsy, whatever. It was a fit of some kind. He's still able to sign his signature to a piece of paper, but yeah. Anyway, so Ravashi says, Uki tshrei levahadi tshrei, you put two up against two, meaning, in other words, the two of them cancel, the two sets of witnesses cancel each other out. V'ar ukma b'chez kis barshatya, and you leave the land in the chazaka of its previous owner, barshatya. So by the same logic over here, if you have two sets of Eidim against each other, one saying that the Kedushin landed closer to him, one saying that, and therefore they were puzzled, one saying it landed closer to her and their kosher, we would throw out the whole Eidim. We would leave the woman in her original Chazaka. In the case of Suffolk Kedushin, that would make it that she should do Chalitza, but B'dieved, if she did Yibum, then fine, because of the Chazaka. And in the case of Gerushin, the other way around, it would say that the chazaka would mean that she doesn't need either chalitza or yibum. The chazaka is she's mutal l'shuk. But and we don't want to be machmir and make her require chalitza, because again we're back to the problem that might lead to yibum. So we're still back to the question then. Why the Mishnah couldn't find a case of Suffolk Gerushin in our mission, and it had to use a case where the get is possible midrabbanan. Ella Omar Abaya. So Abaya says, you know what? You're assuming that the two cases in the Mishnah are different? No. Yagid Olav Raya. One teaches about the other. Tana b'kiddushin v'wadin the gerushin. Tana b'gerushin v'wadin the kiddushin. The Tana teaches us a case of suffix involving kiddushin, where it lands closer to him or closer to her. The same kind of suffix could be applied to gerushin. And the suffix that we have by Tana b'gerushin v'wadin the kiddushin. The suffix that we have by gerushin about different problems with the get. The same kind of suffix you could have by kiddushin as well. So the Mishnah is just keeping things short by giving one illustration in each case. But each one can apply to the other. Exactly what it sounds like. In other words, the same suffix that we could have by Kedushin could also happen by Gerushin. And the same suffix that could happen by Gerushin, where there's a problem with the Shtar, could also happen by Kedushin, if you do Kedushin with the Shtar.
With the same conclusion.
So the point would be, ultimately, that the Mishnah is not telling us that there's a difference in how we apply the suffix in each case. Rather, it would just be the Mishnah is telling us any kind of suffix in either case, whether the kedushin or gerushin took effect, or whether we're talking about a suffix, not a suffix, but a psulinit midrabanan. Either way, the tzara of this woman who has the suffix should do chalitza na'ivum. Amarava I yagid olav reya. If that's all it is, that the Mishnah is just giving us examples by Kedushin that apply also to Gedushin and vice versa. My zeo de Katani, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, after it lists the case of Suffolk Kedushin, it says zeo Suffolk Kedushin. This is a Suffolk Kedushin, implying but no other case. And the same thing by the Gedushin. Elo Amar Rava, so Rava says no. Sort of like what Abaya says, but a little bit differently. Kol she yesh b'kedushin yesh b'gerushin. All of the suffix that you can have by kedushin, namely the suffix whether it landed closer to him or to her, you can have that by gerushin as well. But for yesh b'gerushin, masha ain b'kedushin. But you have a certain kind of suffix by gerushin that cannot apply by kedushin.
Which one?
Name the cases of the cases of a problem in the shtar. Zehu de Gerushin lav davka. When we say, when the Mishnah finishes off Zehu suffik Gerushin, that's lav davka. It doesn't mean this case of a problem in the Shtar as opposed to any other. Elamishim the Tana Zehu b'Kedushin Tana Nami Zehu b'Gerushin. Just since the first part of the Mishnah said Zehu, so from parallel the second part also does. The zehu de kedushin lemo'utimai. In that case, you have to ask, then, what does the zehu by kedushin come to exclude? If you're saying that, so you're saying that not all the cases that can apply by gerushin can apply by kedushin. What cases of suffix by gerushin cannot apply by suffix kedushin? The answer is lemo'uti zman de lekev kedushin. It comes to you. Now we can have a case. We know kedushin can be done by kesef, b'shtar, or b'bia. We're talking about over here about Kedusha Shtar. The Gemara is assuming at this point that the rules of a Shtar Kedushin would be the same as for a get, insofar as you need two Edim and you need a date. But no, so you don't need a date. What we're saying is you need two Edim, whether it's written in the husband's handwriting or not, but you don't need a date on it.
On a get?
On Kedushin, on a Shtar Kedushin.
You don't need a get? You don't need a date?
That's what we're saying. You're thinking of a ksuba. A ksuba has a date for a different reason. We're talking about over here shtar kedushin. When a person hands a shtar to a woman that says, Hareyat Mekudeshethi. That's one of the three ways that kedushin can be done.
Fine, but don't you need a date?
What?
To know when exactly?
That's what we're going to discuss now. So why do you need a date on a get?
If that woman who is in kedushin just received a get, and there's no date exactly on the Kiddushin, on the Shtar Kiddushin, you will not know if it's before she received the get or after she received the get.
A person doesn't usually divorce his wife from Kiddushin, right? They're usually divorced after they've been together for some time. So why, on the face of it, why should you need a date on the get? The date she receives the get is the date she's divorced, and that's that. So the question becomes, and we're naming Alei Tikkun Zman b'Kedushin. So then, in that case, fine. Let's ask why, indeed, would we say that the Chachamim did not make a takana that you have to write the date on a Shtar Kedushin? Now, when it comes to a get, there's two reasons that the Gemara explains in Gittin. Midaraisa, a get does not need a date on it. It's only midrabanan that it does. Why did the rabbanan require that a get needs a date? For two reasons, two possible reasons. One is because One is because as long as they're married, the din is the wife brings a lot of property into the marriage. Some of it becomes what's called mixing malug, which is she owns the property itself, but the husband is entitled to the proceeds from it. So let's say it's a field, for example, he's entitled to the produce of it, but she owns the actual field. Once they get divorced, that stops. He can't have a payrus anymore. So then it becomes important for that reason to have a date on a get, so you know from what date. He's not allowed to suppose. That's one reason why the Rabbanan would say to put a date on a get. The other reason is, suppose you have, imagine you have a person really loves his wife. The example the Gemara gives over there is actually that she's his relative, she's his niece. Now, let's say she's Mizana. What's going to happen? Edom are going to come to Beis Din saying that Mrs. So-and-so, who's a married woman, was having an affair with so-and-so. And then Beis Din would have her executed. The husband may want to protect his wife from that. What's he going to do? He'll give her an undated get. And then when the case is being tried in Beis Din, he'll walk in with the get, or she'll walk in with the get, or whatever. See, I was divorced before it ever happened. I'm not chayv misa. Or my wife is not chayv misa, whatever. So therefore you need a date. Now let's see how all this applies to kedushin. Hanicha l'mando amar mishum peiri. It's good. I can understand according to the opinion why you need to write a date on a get is because of the peiri. Well, then fine. Harusa less the peiri. Fine. You don't need a date on a shtar kedushin because in any case the husband doesn't start getting the peiri until they actually get married. So if they do the kedushin with a shtar in Tishrei, and then they get married in Cheshvan, he doesn't actually start eating the peiros till Cheshvan anyway. So there's no reason to have a date on the shtar kedushin. Nothing happens as of the shtar kedushin that's relevant to peiros anyway. Ella lamadu omer mishum
bafa. He claims that he had married her in Cheshvan.
What do you mean claims? You have aided by marriage.
That's why you don't need a date.
The shtar kedushin, remember, kedushin happens long before nisuin. In those days, anyway. So, but between kedushin and nisuin, he's not eating peiros anyway. So what do we need a date on the shtar kedushin for? Why is it important to know that he was mekadesh her on such and such a date in Tishrei, when in any case he's not going to be starting to eat peiros until cheshvan? Till actual nisuin. But according to the opinion that we say there in the Gemara, the reason why he needs a date on a get is because of this basa chose business, that if his wife commits adultery, he may want to cover it up and pretend like she was already divorced. Well, then by the same token, Liskin's man, we should be misakin that a shtar kedushin has to have zman on it as well, for the same reason. You could have the other way around, that he's going to claim, I was mekadesher b'shtar, she was mezaneh in Tishrei, but I was only mekadesher in Cheshvan. You should have to put a date on the shtar, and that'll show that they were already niskadish in Elul, and therefore she's chayv misa. The answer is mishum de'ikad mekadish b'kaspa ve'ikad mekadish b'shtara. Because you can't. There's two ways of being mekadish. You can be mekadish with money, or you can be mekadish with a shtar. Therefore, they're talking about zman. So therefore, the rabbanon didn't bother making takana of zman on a shtar anyway, because in any case, it's not going to work in all the cases. There's going to be cases where if you have kedusha kesef, which is the normal way of doing kedushin, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, it's not going to help anyway. What date do you have? There's no star to put a date on. So therefore, you're not going to help anyway. You're only helping in some cases. So therefore, it's not worth it. As opposed to any marriage that's not dissolved by the husband dying is going to be dissolved by a death, by a star. Therefore, it makes sense to write a date in a star, and to write a date on a get. Amalei Rav Acha, the page of Yosef Rav Ashi. Okay, how about then? Why? What about when it comes to buying an eved? Some people buy them with money. Some people buy them with a shtar. But talking Rabbanan's man, and yet the Rabbanan made a takana that you have to write the date on it as well. So therefore, by the same token, it should apply to a kedushin. The answer is, Hasam ruba b'shtara, because in that case, most people, when they buy an eved, write a shtar. Hacha ruba b'kasva, here, most people do kedushin with money. Tosfos has a different explanation. Actually, Tosfos says we're actually not talking about buying an eved, but rather we're talking about freeing an eved. The shtar of freeing an eved even though some avadim are freed by paying their purchase price, most of them are freed using a shtar, and the shtar has to have a date on it. That the Chachamim made a takana, because it'll help in most cases. to know, according to Rashi, as of when the master is entitled to pay us to his earnings and whatever, and according to Tosfos, this way we know from what date he's allowed to marry a Jewish woman. So over there, by an Eved, yes, most of it is done with a shtar. Here, by Kedusha Isha, most of it is done with money anyway. There's nothing to write. Ibai Seima, or another possibility, Mishum Delay Epsha, because there's another reason why there's no reason to write a date in a shtar Kedushin, even if you're going to say that most people use a shtar Kedushin. Because there's no way to do it that it'll work. Hechi Eleven, because how should we do it? Lincha Gabi Dida, should we leave the get in her possession, in the wife's possession? Machkalei, what's going to happen if she is in fact in trouble? If she in fact committed adultery and wants to conceal it, she'll go and erase the date, and then she'll claim that, you know, the you can't read the date anyway. So you can't prove that as of the date of the adultery I was married. Lincha gabedidei, should you leave it by him? Same problem that you had originally. Zimnin de basachoisehi, she might be his niece, where he loves her and wants to cover up for her. Or mechapa alon, he's going to cover up for her by him. He'll erase the shtar. Yeah. Lincha gabe edim, should we leave the shtar kedushin in the possession of the edim? The problem is, what are they going to use it for? Edus chiri, if they remember the date of the kedushin, then they don't need the shtar anyway. Leisu lisu, they'll just come in and give edus. The eloi, and if they don't remember, zimnin dechazu mitzava, the problem might be they're going to look at this document, v'asu masadi, and then based on that they're going to come and testify. The Torah says the edim have to testify on their own, not based on their writing. Now, that little line of... So there is a little bit of complication over here in that, I mean, so we have the whole concept of bringing a shtar to Beis Din that's signed by Edim amounts to that the Edus is being given on the basis of a written document. How does that work? So many Rishonim talk about it. Among others, the Rif points out the difference is when do we say that there's a difference, he says, between whether you have a shtar that's written by somebody else and then given to the Edim for safekeeping, or where they sign it or whatever, versus where the Edim themselves write it.
We trust when somebody else writes it.
Then the Edim can hold it by them and then they can testify on that behalf. Versus if they wrote it themselves, yeah. So there's no sense in writing a date on a shtar kedushin because in any case it's you know either it's going to be falsified or the edim can't use it anyway. Okay, the question is ihachi begeder shenami name ahachi. Well, then the same logic should apply to a get. The answer is hasam lahat solidi darka asi, because the difference is the get comes to protect her. Because what happens, in other words, what are we saying? She would want to claim I was divorced before I committed adultery. She would therefore erase the date from the shtar. Well, what's going to happen? Rashi says since the takana is that a get has to have a date, if she brings in a get that has the date erased on it, we will execute her on that basis. Well, obviously she erased the date because otherwise it would incriminate her.
That would be enough.
So Tosfos argues on that. Tosfos says, "What are you talking about? You still can't say that you execute her on that basis." So Tosfos says, "No. What it means is that the woman herself is going to be afraid to erase the date on a get because she's going to think that'll make it possible. The whole point of her keeping the get is to show that she can get remarried. Okay, nowadays they don't keep the get itself; the base can give you a document afterwards, but whatever. It's the same thing. She uses it as proof that she can remarry." If she, or in this case, she'd want to use it as proof that, or she'd want to use it as proof that she was divorced before the adultery. But whatever, the point is, if she erases the date, she's going to think that in that case, that Abanan are going to declare it possible, and she's going to need a whole new get anyway. So therefore, she'll be afraid to tamper with it.
Is it possible to erase the
date? No, it's in fact not. But people are going to think that once that Abanan made a takana, yeah. As opposed to Hacha L'Choyva Di Dar Kasi, as opposed to the case of a Shau Kedushin, that makes her chayev. That's the thing that makes her chayev. If you say that you have to write a date on it, what's she going to do? She will. She'll go ahead and erase the date, or she'll go ahead and hide the shtar altogether or whatever, and claim that I was never married. In other words, if she wants to get out, or if she's going to claim that I'm divorced, she has to bring a get for that purpose. And since she's bringing a get, necessarily it's going to have a date on it. As opposed to, because otherwise, as Rashi says, if it doesn't have a date on it, we're going to suspect that something's fishy and we can execute her on that basis. As opposed to, by shtar kedushin, if she doesn't have it, she could always claim to the Beis Din, I never had a shtar kedushin, I was never married. And they wouldn't have any way of disproving it. So what's the point of writing a date on it? Right.